listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
And aren't you glad you are? I'm Michael Sterling.
And you are so beautiful to me. Do you know that? You know, it's just so good to see you. You brightened my day, Michael.
I had thought that, but
you
I wasn't quite sure.
My day. Yeah. And it's,
I
and
do.
It's the jaunty shirt.
Is
very
it?
Festive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Works
pink.
For you.
You like the pink?
It's not a, I wouldn't
it's
call that
kind of
pink.
A
I would
pale.
Call that more
what would you
of
call
a what?
What would you call it?
Well, it's a, like a, well, more like a cranberry stripe.
Cranberry
stripe.
Juliana, do you
that
cranberry
was a,
stripe?
That was a gum flavor,
it's
wasn't it?
It's certainly striped. It
it's
sounds
pink,
yummy.
Isn't it?
I have to say I go with pink.
Yeah,
and Michael, I love
Jerry?
It when a man wears pink, so.
Jerry?
It's festive. It's very candy cane kind of.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Very careful on choosing his words.
I said cranberry
he?
Stripe. I meant to say candy cane stripe. That was my
Oh,
error.
You did?
Yes. Either way, it looks like you should be working in a hospital.
Well,
you know,
thank
like
you.
A candy striper kind of look.
Or be in one.
Or be.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's a nice shirt. You always dress nice. You dress far better than me.
Well, I'm very casual today. You know, Monday is the day I don't do anything.
Yeah,
so,
I'm on really. Meant to talk to you about that because we should still require pants.
All right, well, it's pantsless Monday today, isn't it? Yeah?
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
It's pantsless
I
Monday.
I don't know. But listen, before we get rolling here, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, simply visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We are grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And in studio today, Paul, we have with us two guests. Our first is a Broadway musical theater star. Her name is Juliana Hanson, who many of you out there listening to us today saw as Millie Dumont in the first U.S. national tour of Thoroughly Modern Millie. The beautiful Juliana Hanson is in the house. Hello, Juliana.
Hello there, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Why, thank you for having
Pleasure
me.
Pleasure having
Absolutely.
You here.
Absolutely.
And our second guest has worked as a dancer, choreographer, and director for over 28 years and can proudly boast about having worked on every major award show, every television network, and in every medium in which a dancer can work. Jerry Evans joins us today. He's going to be with us in the second half hour, but here he is now.
Hi, Evan.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Michael.
How are you, sir?
Fantastic. And you?
He and I have known each other for a lot of years.
A lot of years.
Yes.
Yeah.
We go back to our youth.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
How like in school or what?
Not that young, no.
No?
No, no, no. In our early 20s, I would say, no?
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Early
yeah.
30s, perhaps.
Well, I was 20. So
oh, excuse me. I'm sure I was 22.
22 or 20 also?
Well, in the 20s. I don't know. 20-something. Mm. Yes, but...
So it's been 5 years now.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Before we get to our guests, Michael, how
yes.
was your week?
It was good,
Paul.
Recap Thank
you of your
for
week.
Asking. It was
What'd
busy.
You do?
What did I do?
We're
busy at the nightclub, of course.
Of course.
Upstairs at the Federal. And that's always a good thing. And we had a beautiful singer in last night, Mr. Bobby Bennett, who you know from American Idol.
Oh, the American Idol guy.
Sold out. Sold out.
Sold it out.
Sold out.
Good
yeah.
for him.
Did a big show.
How many years ago was he on American Idol?
2005.
He was the guy in American Idol. I don't know if either of you saw him, but he burned down Copacabana, and it was sort of what he was known for. But
exactly.
He's got pipes.
He does. And he brought in a beautiful show, about an hour, 15-minute show last night of just...
He had like four guests or something?
Four guests, yeah. And they were all fabulous. It was a very diverse show.
And he's like nine, right?
He's 25.
He's like ridiculously young. Yeah.
25 with the soul of a veteran performer. Just meant to do that kind of thing, you know, entertain in nightclubs. And he did a beautiful, beautiful job.
There's a real sort of 40s vibe about him.
Yeah.
Like a bohemian hepcat,
yeah,
I would
exactly.
call him.
Exactly.
Do you like the way I just pulled
I
that
do.
Out of the air?
I like
Bohemian
that
hepcat?
Yeah.
I'm educated. You don't think so, but I am.
I know.
Actually, I stole that. That was said about Tom Waits once. He said
it was
a bohemian hepcat, which I thought was very cool.
I like Tom Waits.
I know, as do I.
I know you
yeah.
do.
Yeah, but Bobby Bennett is about as far from Tom Waits as you can get.
But the phraseology would still
It's like half and half.
Him,
it's like she's like She's like Lou Rawls or Brenda Vaccaro. It's sort of that comparison, about as far as you can get.
That's right. Far away.
Let's get to our guest. Did you have something else?
I was going to say that was pretty much it. Nothing major, you know, in the breaking news for me last week. Yeah. Well, but what about yourself?
Just plugging away, working hard. Good. Went to a little picnic yesterday with a bunch of people I went to college with. It was nice to see all of them.
Sort of a reunion?
It was a little unsettling because I'm the only one who's aged. So that was a little unnerving. And they all look exactly the same.
Oh, well, that's very subjective.
They look exactly the same, and I'm the picture in their collective attic. That's what it is. I am the Dorian Gray to all of them. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's nice. You do. You're very young spirited, Paul.
That's what you say to people who look terrible. You're young spirited. You look like hammered shit, but you're young spirited.
I did not say that.
Let's raise the bar here. Yeah. Not only did she star in the title role of Millie, as Michael said, in the U.S. national tour of Thoroughly Modern Millie, but she's also starred as Belle in Disney's Beauty and the Beast, Eponine in Les Misérables. She was also a finalist in the NBC hit television variety series Grease, You're the One That I Want, and is currently starring for Disney again, this time on stage at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood in conjunction with the premiere of Disney's latest animated spectacular, Brave. Please welcome Miss Juliana Hansen. Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
I missed my applause button. So I'm going to introduce you again.
Please do.
Okay?
I was waiting.
Miss Juliana Hansen.
Thank you so much.
My apologies. Too many windows open. Too many logistics.
Okay, don't want to do that.
Yes. So how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah.
Really? So I'm always curious about the... Michael told me about the El Capitan thing, and that just has to be raucous, because those shows are just...
They're insane.
How big's the venue?
It's quite a large theater. I'm not sure how many the house holds, but there is a balcony.
And it's a beautiful
and
theater.
It's stunning. It was built in 1926 as a vaudeville house, and eventually became a movie house. First film it ever played was Citizen Kane.
Some history
for you.
Wow.
Disney took it over in the 90s. Citizen Kane, I guess no other theater in Hollywood would touch it. El Cap was trying to transition out of vaudeville and into film.
So that was, Citizen Kane was what, 40? 1940? I don't think it was.
Thereabouts. I don't know the exact date.
I wasn't around.
I didn't expect you to be there. But
it is a gorgeous house.
Now,
and
is
it's
it,
packed every show.
Is that the one, is El Capitan, I mean, I know where it is, but I know that there's another theater on the street that was designed by the same people who designed Grauman's. Is that the Egyptian?
The Egyptian,
yeah. The Egyptian is. Mm-hmm. So the El Capitan wasn't designed by, but it's still like the grand old movie house.
It is spectacular.
It is one of them, sure. Yeah. On that block. Yeah. I actually know the family who designed the Pantages Theater.
The Pantages?
Yeah.
Really?
The Heinsbergen family. It's Anthony Heinsbergen. Was the man that designed that, and the Wiltern, and the several theaters in Los Angeles.
I love the Wiltern. It's a great place.
Yeah, that's a beautiful place.
Beautiful.
But so how many shows do you do a day?
On Mondays through Thursdays, I do 4.
So you've worked today?
I have not.
Oh, you did. Uh-huh.
The show is double cast, so I do get a couple days off a week, which is great.
Okay.
I usually work Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. Sometimes I'll work Wednesdays. But on the weekends, we do 5 a day. And for opening, which was last Friday, they had a special added performance at 6 a.m. Yes.
For the press.
Oh, my gosh. So we had a 5 a.m. call time. And, I mean, in the musical theater world, that is unheard of and painful.
Oh, my gosh. But when you're working for Disney.
But, you know, you're there and you are full out smiles and it... You know, it was the day I was dreading. We were there from 5 o'clock in the morning until 10:30 at night, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It was actually fun. 6 a.m. was packed, and it was like a rock concert. They were radio show winners, ticket winners through Disney, Radio Disney.
Okay.
And press, and they loved it. So that kind of kept our energy up.
May I ask why it had to start at that hour? Were they broadcasting to the East or something live?
You know, good question. I mean, I think it was the only option because they could have started maybe at 7, but we our first show is scheduled at 10 a.m. every morning. So.
Well,
and then throughout the day. Yeah, it's a very full day.
How long is the performance?
It's only about 25 minutes.
Okay, so it seems to me, I would think, that it's not the performing that gets to you, it's the downtime in between, because you got to wait through the film, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You nailed it. The performing itself is super fun. This particular show is unusual for LCAP. It is a huge cast, and we feel like we're just shot out of a cannon every time we do it. We're on stage the entire time. I may leave the stage for 10 seconds to do a quick change, and I run right back out.
Wow.
So it is nonstop, and we sweat like crazy. But it's a great workout, and it's a fun show. So you're right in saying that the downtime is actually... That's the challenge.
Well, that's the
filling
thing. Keep it, keeping
what
your
do you
energy
do?
Up that time.
And
yeah.
Staying productive. You don't want to just like sit in the green room and watch TV and stare at each other, which
right.
on Friday we all gave ourselves permission to do.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Because I know that I used to, I haven't done 4 shows a day and I don't know how long, but even when I was doing matinees, so the show was a one-man show that I was doing, keeping the energy up in between is just like, that's, you know. And then, of course, you get out there and adrenaline takes over once you're performing.
You're always
you're
fine, yeah.
But it's that in-between time.
And the audiences at the LCAP are also, I mean, so far they've been so generous and so excited to be there that really, I mean, by our 10 o'clock show, I was thinking, how this is physically impossible. How am I going to go out and do this one more time?
Wow.
And the minute I hit that stage and I heard the cheers and the applause and everything, you know, it just instantly kind of got me out of the funk. And so it's been, they're really good crowds.
Now,
it's
do
really
you play
fun.
A particular character or characters or?
No, but I get to, I appear with them. I appear
because
with Mickey
Mouse.
Because I saw
something on the website for the El Capitan this morning. It looked like a photograph of you in a cast lineup. Is that possible?
Yes, that's absolutely
wearing
right.
a beautiful yellow gown. Would that have been
that would
it?
Not have been
not
me.
You.
No,
okay.
the
that
yellow
was
gown
me.
Is Belle.
That was you.
That was me. Yeah. I can pull off yellow pretty well.
Yeah.
Yes, you do look
apparently
like a yellow
you can.
No. Yes, that's Belle, Michael.
Oh,
Belle
okay.
is in Beauty from Beauty and the Beast. But no, I am an usher. I am a clown. I'm basically cast as the female singer. So I
okay.
open the show, I host the show, I dance and sing with
nice.
Mickey and Minnie and Donald.
No, okay, wait a minute. Now I'm confused then. Are these shows that proceed, because Brave is playing there now,
right?
Yes.
And it won the weekend for a
yes,
box office.
Yeah.
So the shows before the performances are not themed after the performance?
They're not. We have a little touch of Scottish at the very end of our show.
Okay.
Our show is actually a salute to 125 years of Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
So we're singing a lot of show favorites, like There's No Business Like Show Business, Hooray for Hollywood.
Okay.
We sing Make 'em Laugh, bunch of songs
okay.
that are very familiar to the audience. And then at the very end, we change into little Scottish kilts and come out doing some Scottish Highland dancing, and
okay.
we introduce Merida, who's the star of Brave.
Okay, so they have little nods to whatever
there's
the film is, but
yeah.
okay. I
yeah.
was always curious, and I was curious about that because it would be like, what a heroic job to have to theme a full live performance thing for every time a film changes in
right.
that place. Gives you an idea how many things I've seen at El Capitan, which I'm embarrassed to say.
Well, you
how
will
many
see
have
this,
you seen?
Right?
I haven't seen any. Obviously, if I'd seen them,
no.
I would have known
okay.
that was the
well,
case.
I thought maybe you did.
No, I didn't.
I have seen a few. It's adorable. It's no. great. Wonderful.
They do great work.
And there's an organ involved, right?
There is.
Yeah.
There's a half-hour performance by an organist.
It's kind of where you're sitting there waiting for the show, right?
Before
for
the live
show.
Yes,
right.
That's right. Before the pre-show.
Man playing his organ.
That's
what it is.
I'm
very famous, isn't he? Juliana?
I'm sorry?
He's very famous, this gentleman, right?
Well, the Wurlitzer organ, I think his performance is famous. They
yeah.
have more than one organist that
oh, they
kind
do.
Of shares...
They have a real Wurlitzer there, huh?
It's a Wurlitzer,
wow.
and it's beautiful. And underneath the stage, when we're all in the dressing
all
rooms,
right.
we're beneath the stage, and the whole theater just kind of shakes from the reverb of this organ. You can't hear it out
is
the
it
house.
Is it a pipe organ?
But,
is it a pipe organ?
I believe it is, yeah. It's,
does it come up? From
it
the...
rises on the Mickey lift, they call it.
The Mickey lift.
The Mickey lift, yeah.
Everything. There was a great theater on Southport in Chicago, the Music Box, and they used to do silent films with the live organ accompaniment. They would get the you know, and of course around holiday times they would do, you know, themed things. But I saw Chaplin's City Lights and Modern Times with the with the organ accompaniment was just like, it was a different world.
I bet.
Having it played live. It was
That's
great.
Cool.
We enjoyed it.
That's cool.
And in Los Angeles, with, you know, theater being probably a lesser appreciated art form amongst the masses, it's very cool that Disney keeps that alive. Live theater still happens every day at the El Cap, so it's nice.
I want to comment on one thing you said. I saw something on Facebook yesterday that perfectly echoes that. It said, 3D movies have been around for 2,500 years. It's called theater. Which I just thought was great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I reposted that one very quickly.
It kills me every time I hear somebody say what you just said, just because it's so true about keeping theater alive and to the extent of which we all have to go to keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think
what we do for it.
And what we've said before on this show, Michael, we have something here in LA that is it doesn't exist in New York, it doesn't exist in Chicago, which is, you know, it the mere size of the place is the thing that you're up against the most. In Chicago or in New York, so take a cab, I'll meet you at the restaurant, we'll walk over to the theater. And it, getting people out of their homes at the end of a workday to get back into a car to drive somewhere is one of God's great mysteries, getting people to
do that.
It's
true. You know? It's a commitment.
It is.
Always a big commitment.
Yeah, especially now with the seduction of, you know, you've recorded your television shows, you can watch them whenever you want, and, you know, that's what we're up against. So that's why whenever people get angry with people in the theaters, the cellophane cracklers and the talkers and the and the cell phone people, I can't get too angry with them, because even though they may not know the protocol, they were the ones who showed up.
They are there.
They are not renting a video. So that tempers
that's
my
anger.
That's
a good way to look at that.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, I know it'll never hold water with you because of how much you... No, at least with the cell phone people. I know they drive you nuts.
Well, they do. They do. And again, last night was another example.
What?
Just someone that, you know, from my sight line of where I was sitting in the club last night.
They don't know they have like a blue glow on their face the whole
time. One person
who
never, ever in an hour and 15 minutes lifted his head up to watch the man perform that he had come to see.
Oh, no.
He was face down.
Yeah. Well, he was drunk.
No. And he, you know, he was young, he was dressed nicely and everything else, but he was glued to this phone.
Yikes.
Maybe he was watching a live feed of the show.
Maybe that's what
you know, it's already streaming on the internet.
Yeah.
You're giving
like a sporting
him a
event. Yeah, exactly. We're looking for the replay.
Yeah. Really. I just wanted to comment on Juliana's association with Disney right now at the El Cap, because it's not the only thing that you do for Disney.
Oh, certainly not.
You are a Disney girl, true and true.
Right? I am, absolutely. I have a long relationship with Disney that dates back to being a child. I was hired on a studio session for Pocahontas as a kid. Met Stephen Schwartz and Alan Menken for the first time way back when. And from then forward, sort of, I've had this love affair with Disney. Can you say that? Is that, like, too risque for Disney? Love affair, I said it. But I have worked a lot with Richard Sherman of the Sherman Brothers. And
a lovely man.
He's a lovely soul. And I recently had the pleasure of actually singing two never-before-produced songs that he had written for Mary Poppins. He and his brother wrote them. They were cut from the film. And Walt Disney Records is in the middle of putting out a new album called The Lost Chords, which is going to be part of a series. They're going to do this for several composers. But the Richard Sherman one was the first.
Well, you also go out with the Big Symphony Orchestras and do the Disney concerts.
I get to travel around the world. We were in Taipei last November and played for like 70,000 people, and Canada in February, and New York about a month ago. It's really fun. I love it, because who doesn't love Disney music? And people of all ages, Disney's sort of like the Beatles, you know? Kids 2 years old know every word, and so do the 85-year-old grandmas.
Right.
So it's pretty awesome.
Sunday nights. When I was a kid, Sunday night when I was in high school, Sunday nights when you heard that music, you just knew it was coming on, because it was right after Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, I remember, because it was Mutual of Omaha's and then that. But that music, it just like pulled you into the room.
The world of Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. But now there is an event coming up that people are going to be able to see you live at without having to go to, is it soon? When is your performance
it's not
at the Federal?
Until September.
Not until September.
It'll be here before we know it.
Well, yeah.
It's coming fast and furiously.
Right. But you have a website, and you keep that information on file on your website, will you?
I do. My website is very simple.
Loveaffairwithdisney.com, isn't it?
That's it. JulianaHanson.com.
Juliana Hanson.
Yes, and it will have all my information for my own solo cabaret show, which I'm going to be doing at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal in September.
Now, is that a show that you've performed before, or are you creating it for this event?
It's being created as we speak.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. I'm gathering ideas every minute of every day. I'm working with Bruce Kimmel, music producer and director.
For the Kritzerland guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're in the process of writing it and trying to figure out the theme and the point. It's very exciting.
It's a process I've wanted to do for a while.
It's a process, and it's a great... It's just such an exciting thing to be doing.
Awesome.
And I've got to, it better be good, because not only am I doing it in September, but I'm doing it again in January up in Northern California, and tickets are already selling. So,
wow.
Yeah, so
nice.
It's pretty cool.
Now, where are you doing it in Northern California?
This is neat. I'm doing it at the Dean Lesher Theater in Walnut Creek.
Yeah.
It's the first place I ever performed. When I was 5 years old, I played Molly and Annie there, and I have not been back since. So I still have a lot of friends and family in that theater company, a lot of friends involved with that company. And yeah, it'll be really cool to kind of return to my roots.
In beautiful Walnut Creek.
In beautiful Walnut Creek. It's actually quite nice.
She just mentioned Annie.
Yeah.
I did.
She came actually to see our production of Annie. Jerry was the choreographer.
Were you? Oh.
Yes, I was. Yes, it was fantastic. I had a great time.
You were spectacular. You did a great job choreographing.
Thank you.
I particularly loved how you made use of such a small space, but really...
It's a challenge.
But it was beautifully done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I so enjoyed the show, Michael.
Thank you.
As I told you before, it had an enormous amount of heart. And... really just a stellar cast.
Yeah,
Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, a different kind of Daddy Warbucks, huh?
But perfect.
Yeah, Peter Hussman.
Yeah, we had him. Was it last week or the week before?
2 weeks ago.
No.
Yeah, Peter was.
Sweet guy, Peter. Very, very nice
good
guy.
Actor.
He was wonderful as one of my favorite musicals, is 1776, and he was phenomenal as John Adams in that one.
I bet.
He's very good.
He's a lovely man.
Very nice guy.
And
awesome.
A good performer, and he's doing a fantastic job in this role.
Yes, he is. And I have to say it, I was so proud of little Lucy Taylor.
Yes.
I am her biggest fan.
She's one of the orphans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she plays July. It's her first show.
Mom is a Broadway performer, and her father is in Once on Broadway right now.
Oh, okay.
And she's all of, how old is Lucy?
Lucy's about 8.
About 8 years old, and just a natural. Born for this, made for this, never did a show before until this.
She is
now,
a star.
Do you know Lucy from before?
I know Lucy and her sister Ruby very well through Bruce Kimmel, through Kritzerland.
Okay.
I've performed with her mom several times. And
that's great.
I babysit them. I'm proud of those kids. I just love them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. The website again, so people don't forget, JulianaHanson.com, JulianaHanson.com. And one more question for you, Julian, because I'm always curious about this when people do cabaret performances. Do you said it was a collaborative process and you're working on it now. Did you have, or it might even be too early to answer this question, are the songs dictated by the narrative, or do you come up with the narrative first and then find the songs to fit them?
I've choose the music first.
Okay.
And then we will be writing narrative to fit the music.
Okay.
Because
right.
I think, at least for me, I mean, the music is why I'm doing it.
And the music is your tent pole thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, I definitely don't want it to just be a list of credits, you know, an evening of my resume.
Right.
So I am trying to really dig deep and kind of bring up stuff from my childhood and in a good way, not weird, like... shrink stuff.
Damn it.
Did you see the show at the Federal? I wanted to open a vein by the time it was over.
No, but yeah, I'm just
cabaret as therapy at the Federal.
Really?
Exactly. I'm bright red. I don't know what to say now. But yes, I'm choosing the music first.
She's blushing.
Oh man!
Actually,
you know what though?
Drink.
That's a very funny premise. To go up to create a show like that and go up there and do a cabaret act and just have it be an opportunity to just get even with everybody and just vent everything about your life. I mean, it'd be a very funny character to do.
It's hilarious.
Like a drunken, you know, just a bawdy character that took the opportunity of the thing. You know, you're going to use this idea.
Do you see the wheels turning?
I do. I see it.
Paul, before we get into our live arts calendar, which is coming up, we have a special sponsor of part of the program today, do we not?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I wanted to share this with people. This is Reproductions for people, Headshot Reproductions. And I wanted to throw them this ad, actually. They didn't take an ad out for us. I wanted to give them this ad because my experience there was so wonderful, and their staff is so accommodating, and they're just, there's so many businesses related to actors in this town that are just looking for ways to reach into their pocket again and again. And when people really go above and beyond, I feel that they should be called out on it. So I want to give them this read. This is Reproductions. I went to the one in Studio City. Reproductions offers the finest headshot printing currently available to the acting and modeling communities. Their commitment to quality and great customer service is why they are known as the best headshot printers in L.A. and New York. Reproductions offers a full range of printing services, including headshots, postcards, business cards, and comp cards, and their trademarked heavyweight photographic paper will set you apart with its unmatched quality and feel. Order online at reproductions.com with free shipping for California residents. And the great thing about it, they have this paper, this heavy stock paper. You print up your headshot. You throw it in your inkjet printer. Mm-hmm. You print the resume right on the back as needed. You don't have to print a whole bunch ahead of time. The days of stapling it onto the back are all over.
Right.
And just a great product, great quality, very competitively priced, and good people.
Well, that's a lovely way to present somebody, you know, that one should present themselves. Because, boy, on casting sessions, I've sat in and people come in with not even their resume stapled to the back of the photograph, let alone be the same size as the photograph.
Yeah,
it's kind of all over the map.
I worked for Jenny Jones for a while. I used to do warm up for Jenny Jones, she had a talk show a few years back, and she said something. She said, if I get a resume from someone and there's anything misspelled in it, they're off the pile, because that's what represents you.
Yeah.
If you can't get your spelling right on the resume that represents you, I mean, come on, you know, and it's just, you know, it's far more important than people think it is. People think it's just something for casting directors to write on, but it's far more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? So anyway, that's my pitch. That's my pitch for Reproductions.
All right, sir.
Good people.
Are you going to lead us into the arts calendar?
Certainly can. Would you like me to?
Please.
Okay. In the seemingly innocent home of the Rogers family, all is not as perfect as it seems. Mr. and Mrs. Rogers and their two darling children, Dick and Jane, must face their history and identity before it is too late, with only mysterious phone calls and a forbidden book as clues. D is for Dog explores the themes of family loyalty and compassion using iconic imagery from 1950s television, blended with startling elements of horror and science fiction. This sounds awesome.
Doesn't it?
Mixing puppetry, live actors, original music, and video projection, the play takes audiences from the absurd to the terrifying and everywhere in between. For more information about Rogue Artists, D is for Dog, now on stage through August 4th at the Hudson Main Stage Theater in Hollywood, please visit performingartslive.com.
That's right. It does sound awesome.
It does.
Very, very interesting. Yeah.
Horror and puppets, man. I'm all over that.
Love that combination. Now, this is something I was doing in the last couple of weeks here, Paul. I was, you know, going out to see theater, as I like to do, and actually Juliana and I ran into each other at the Pantages Theater for the opening of Million Dollar Quartet.
Oh, yeah.
From Broadway, making its run through the country on its national tour. And honestly, this was perhaps one of the most riveting evenings I've had in Broadway musical theater. And it's not typical Broadway fare. There is a book, but it's not the typical kind of book. Million Dollar Quartet is holding court with adoring audiences at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood now through July 1st. And as press notes say, Million Dollar Quartet is set on December 4th, 1956, when an auspicious twist of fate brings Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley together at Sun Records in Memphis by Sam Phillips, the father of rock and roll, who was responsible, as you know, Paul, for launching the careers of each of these icons. And what became known as one of the greatest rock and roll jam sessions in music history is that and everything more as Million Dollar Quartet tours the U.S. with first-rate, four-star class performances by Derek Keeling as Johnny Cash, Cody Slaughter as Elvis Presley, Martin Kay as Jerry Lee Lewis, and Lee Ferris as Carl Perkins. Million Dollar Quartet also features the sultry singing of super beauty Kelly Lamont just made me crazy watching that girl. She was so amazing. Standing and cheering as I was, and I assure you I was, during the show's final number, so was an entire audience for a five-minute musical ovation.
Wow.
Right? Am I right about that?
You are
that?
So right. I
amazing.
Get chills just thinking
yeah.
about it.
And if you want to experience the power of rock and roll at its best, you can visit the Pantages Theater box office in person or call 800-982-2787 or go online at BroadwayLA.org. Whatever you do, don't miss it.
Tim Decker, a friend of mine from Chicago, has done the show, production in Chicago for the Apollo for...
Still running it there.
Yeah, years. Yeah. And I think he plays Sam Phillips. I think he plays
And the gentleman here was amazing.
Was spectacular.
Forgive me for not including his name in this review, but he was spectacular in that role as well.
Do they address the fact that with the selling of Elvis's contract, do they talk about
that? Yes, they do.
That's one of
the pivotal points.
He put
in
all of his time and energy behind Carl Perkins, thinking he was to be the big one because he was also a writer. Is that right? Because he also wrote the songs and Elvis didn't write.
Yes. Yeah. And Christopher Ryan Grant actually portrays Sam Phillips in the touring production. He's fantastic. Okay.
And if you're in Chicago, see the Chicago production and see, because that's a wonderful
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Ask for Tim Decker.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, hang out at the stage door and ask for him over and over. He'd love that.
Now, also playing now through August 4th is, for the record, Boogie Nights. It's a musical salute to the works of Academy Award-winning Los Angeles director Paul Thomas Anderson at Rockwell Table and Stage, formerly known as the Vermont Restaurant on Vermont Avenue in Los Feliz. Part of an ongoing series which in the past has saluted such iconic film directors as Quentin Tarantino, Baz Luhrmann, and John Hughes, For the Record's Boogie Nights was a valiant attempt at melding the theatrics and dining in a beautifully renovated atmosphere, utilizing multiple areas throughout the interior of the space, which came alive with performances by more than a credible cast and a pulsating, high-flying band. Boogie Nights struggled, however, with an over-amplified and under-equalized sound system, which often robbed the audience from hearing what otherwise could have been a perfect blend of vocals and musical support. Having just opened the night before, however, I have to give them a little bit of slack here, because perhaps the production was still finding its way through the new digs of the Rockwell, which is, as I said, very beautiful. Regardless, it will get there, I'm sure. And for something different to do, ladies and gentlemen, with your summer nights, check out For the Record's Boogie Nights at Rockwell Table and Stage by visiting fortherecordlive.com.
And this is a new venue?
No,
or?
It's not a new venue. It's been renovated recently. This For the Record series, a series that they perform at this particular venue. And it's in that beautiful part of Los Feliz, you know, that gorgeous, you know, street of wonderful shops
right,
and restaurants.
Right, right,
and
right.
Very nice to go there the other night, actually.
Sort of like a little Larchmont over there.
Yeah.
But,
you know, yeah. Boogie Nights is a very specialized... You saw the film, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's this kind of coming to life through the music.
So it's porn and dinner. That's what you're saying, basically.
Yeah,
it's porn and dinner.
It actually is. Yeah.
Which I would go to that. Porn and dinner, I'd be all over that.
Here's the thing. Is that they extract dialogue,
right?
You know, from the film and so forth, and kind of a collective thing of works with the emphasis on Boogie Nights. And so they're acting and they're singing and they're everywhere, all over, in everywhere. It's
right.
A 360 kind of, you know, concept.
All-encompassing evening.
Exactly.
Yes.
And they do have it's simulations of things going on, you know, during the performance. And also, they have a menu that features various and assorted items. Shall I read you a couple of them?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Dirk Diggler was the name of the main character, if you remember. The band is called 13 Inches.
Lady, okay.
And they had various things on the menu, such as the Rockwell Sausage Fest.
Okay, I think we're good with that, Michael. I don't think we need to read anymore. I think we've got that covered.
However,
Jerry, don't you love this intro you're getting?
Yeah. I love this, yeah. It's hard to follow. Yeah. Good, thanks.
Shall I?
You shall.
Okay. After beginning his career as a dancer who performed for and with major choreographers and dancers from Michael Kidd to Mikhail Baryshnikov, our next guest has choreographed numerous consecutive world tours for such stars as Reba McEntire, Paula Abdul, and Cheyenne. Is that the correct way to say?
Yes.
Cheyenne?
Yes.
I'm sorry. and has more than 20 feature films, 15 music videos, and 50 commercials, and received numerous dance awards, including an American Choreographer Award for Best Choreography in a Feature Film for his work in The Mask, and a Music Video Producers Award for his work on the Barbra Streisand video Left in the Dark, to name but a few. Please welcome Jerry Evans.
Hey.
How are
nice
you?
Nice to be here. Nice. Fantastic. Thanks.
Can I ask you something that occurred to me? But sure. I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
No, I was like, wow, who wrote that? That was fantastic.
That was Michael.
I didn't even realize I did all that.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Michael just, I mean, he can, Michael really
I have no memory anymore.
Has a gift.
Okay. I'm sorry, you're going to ask.
I was going to ask you about Annie, because this occurred to me while you were talking about Annie. And Juliana was so nice to comment on the work you did in such
a small space.
Very
nice.
But my first thought when I hear about choreography at Glendale Center Theater is, how difficult is it to choreograph it in the round?
In the round is always a challenge.
And what was more of a challenge, the space or the fact that it was in the round? Like the limitations of the space.
Actually, the limitations of the space, because it's a very tight, small, postage stamp kind of a stage, which is very intimate and it's great. But yet it still has the air of kind of a bigger room.
Right.
So it's kind of nice. But in the round is always a challenge. So, you know, the basic rule of thumb is when in doubt, change a different direction.
Right.
Turn, face the opposite way.
Because you're just two things against you in that. Very little space and then also in the round. So I figured it would be very challenging. And sight lines.
Though people listening shouldn't get the wrong perception of the theater. The theater's a large theater, 400 seats surrounding that stage.
I mean, it's nice and big and airy and it's nice.
But it is a challenge, you're right. It's always keeping it moving and in the right direction and for people to be able to see everything, you know, for limited amounts of time, but they've all got to see, you know, the same person during the same song.
Same dance. So you get more than five people on stage, and if they're standing still, you're blocking somebody.
Right.
Somebody in the audience can't see somebody because someone's standing still.
Right. But I think that just the audiences are very forgiving of that because they know it'll come around to them. Like, they'll know, like, unless you get those people that just make a real visual indicator that they can't see, you know, those people who throw their heads to the side.
I don't think that.
I do that all the time. Because I like to irritate the performers on stage.
Why does that not surprise me, Paul?
I don't know. But that, I love the stuff over there, and I just know that that's one of the things that would definitely present a challenge. Do you do any, is there anything that is staged outside of that main space? Like, is anything staged in the audience area? Because I know they did that with 1776.
Yeah, on the staircases, there's, and above on a balcony that overlooks the theater.
Oh, there's another playing area up there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they must have not used that in 1776.
They did not.
You don't?
No, they didn't.
But you have the clout to bring that in.
I did. I don't know if it's clout or not, but I mean, it's certainly another performance area, which was Miss Hannigan's office, which Jerry also, you know, I'd ask him to create in one of the numbers, you know, that I wanted it to go up the stairs and finish on one of the big numbers in the show, which was quite effective.
That's very cool. Was that Easy Street?
Easy Street,
Easy Street.
I watched that clip just the other day with Tim Curry and Bernadette Peters.
Isn't that great?
And Jerry and I go way back, as we said at the beginning of the show. And gosh, he was a fabulous dancer. P.S., a dancer on Solid Gold. He was a Solid Gold dancer.
Really?
That's right.
Really? Well, actually, I choreographed the Solid Gold. I didn't actually dance on the show.
Oh!
No.
That's what I meant.
I was one of the many choreographers on that show. I did 40 shows.
40 shows?
Yeah.
Any with my client, Andy Gibb?
Back to back.
Did you do any with Andy?
No, I was before Andy. Yeah, right
with
before.
Marilyn? No, Marilyn was with Andy.
It was before that, too, I'm thinking, who was the host on that? Because we don't shoot at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never see the bands or the performers or the host.
Right.
The dancers are always in a separate rotation, and we shoot 10 at once, 10 shows at once.
That time for dancing on television, that was a spectacular opportunity, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was great.
Now, you have something out in the theaters recently, too, that you were involved in as a performer.
Dancing in, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the latest
huge, major
Muppets
motion picture.
Muppets film, yes.
The Muppets film.
Muppets film.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Friend of mine, very good friend of mine, Michael Rooney, choreographed. And there hasn't been a Muppet movie in quite a while.
This was the Jason Segel movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Jason. Jason's fabulous.
And he championed this film for years.
He did.
It was like, you know,
he did.
He's a Muppet, just a huge fan.
Huge fan. And he got this movie done. And he is fantastic, great person, very personable. Doesn't matter who's on the set, you could walk up and start talking to him, and he'd be right there talking to you until he had to start rolling. He was fantastic. Plus, he learned, not a dancer at all, but he learned all the choreography, he learned all the lyrics, all the movement. It was fantastic, yeah.
It was a great movie. I enjoyed
it. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. I love the Muppets, you know, because I'm spending most of my young life being referred to as a Muppet, because I did look like one as a younger person. that I just developed an affection for them, and I love the film. What did you do in the film?
Actually, I was one of the dancers. Started out, I actually made the trailer. In the beginning of the film, they decide to leave the small town to go to the big city.
Right.
So they start walking around the little town square and saying goodbye to people, and the people start following him, and it's a parade.
Right.
I'm one of the first people that he picks up in the town. I'm the milkman.
Oh, okay.
I'm walking down the street and making my deliveries, and there he is walking, and we all start following him and singing and following and dancing.
Oh, no. It was
fun.
Adorable.
I'm all in white. I spent a career being all in black. Everything I've ever done is always in black. Right? So here's this major feature film years later, and I'm all in white.
White cap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't touch anybody. I couldn't do anything. It was great.
And one day he's just hoping for color. He's just hoping to get something out of it. But it's an interesting point, though. I was reading your bio here, and I'm always curious about this because I know how different acting is for live stage and for film, but choreography for film versus stage. Do you need to apply that sort of economy? Does the camera magnify as much dancing as it does just?
Yes.
It does.
Depending on the size of the lens, yes.
Okay.
You know, how big the shot is, how close up they are.
Yeah.
Because the closer you want, the less you want to give, because it's the same.
Because it would be assaultive otherwise.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's mugging, and it's huge, and it's too big. And it's the same goes if you're on a wide shot. I mean, extremely wide. You have 80 dancers on the stage, or on the street, or wherever you are. You're on a wide shot, you can't sell big enough.
Right.
So it's very much like film for acting. Same thing.
I was always curious about that because I know nothing about choreography. I'm just fascinated by the different ways it's presented, you know.
And it's very different to choreograph for film than it is for stage. You know, stage is pretty much proscenium, and it's live.
Right.
There's no stopping, starting, picking it up from another angle. Well, with the cameras, obviously you have multiple cameras, or you have a single camera that stops and starts and picks it up from multiple views.
Right.
So you have little bits and pieces of choreography.
Like doing little bits of a scene.
Yeah. So you can treat it. It's very different. Very different when you come to choreograph. You have to think about all those things as you're choreographing the number, as you're teaching it. So it's modularized, but you can get a lot more. You can do a lot more things creatively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, and also change your perspective of your audience. You don't have that luxury with proscenium. You can't move the proscenium around.
No. I wanted to ask Jerry a question with regard to, now you're talking about film dancing, and talking about dancing for television. Not necessarily that we have shows that feature that very much, because we really don't have too many as far as variety shows, you know, in formal concept. But we do have something quite popular called So You Think You Can Dance. And I know that you have a particular opinion about that show, right? I mean, as far as the dance styles that are shown,
yeah,
the dancers themselves. Do you love the show?
I do.
I love that show.
I love it too. Let's move on.
Yeah.
You're blushing, Jerry. Oh,
yes, I am.
We're batting 1,000. We made both our guests blush.
Fantastic show. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, what's your beef with it, and I'll tell you my beef with it.
Well,
because obviously
it's not really a beef. It's not a beef.
It's an animal. It's all unto itself. It's fantastic. It has heightened the awareness of dance across the board.
And that's a good thing.
And it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. And but it's more or less centered around a style of dance which they have called contemporary, and we're still waiting for the definition on that and what that is. Right. Seems to be encompassing of everything, which is kind of nice. It's like a melting pot. It brings it all together. You can do anything in contemporary, and it's called contemporary.
Right.
But it also gives you the license to not have to. It gives the implication to younger students coming up that they don't have to quite study as hard at anything specific, like ballet, like tap, like jazz. That's a little more structured, but still you can, you know, twist it and make it your own. So they don't think that they can have to study that much. I can just do contemporary and don't have to worry about my body positions or style or anything, and right. and I can be a star tomorrow. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go on that show, and I'm going to be a star.
Right.
Well, you know, the reality is that all those kids who are on the show, as soon as they're off the show, they're nobodies, and they're out auditioning just like everybody else.
Right.
And it's like a false sense of, I don't know what, you know, you're 15 minutes and then it's gone.
Well, then conversely, there is another show that's just started on television, a reality show called, I think it's called Turning Point, and it mm-hmm. is about the life of those studying ballet and the difficulties, you know, that come with that and the the drama and getting into a ballet company. And it's following a company out of Salt Lake. Uh-huh. The ballet company there, which apparently is one of the most prestigious in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating, actually.
I'll tell
show.
You, those Mormons breed some dancers, let me tell you.
Well,
dancers and singers.
Yes, they
do.
My
Monica's family, they're Mormon, and they're just the importance of live performance, dance mm-hmm. and singing there is huge. It's just really...
The importance of it.
The importance of it, yeah, because they just... there's a huge sense of event and family-friendly entertainment. And
well, I guess that explains the lovely people who own the Glendale Center Theater, because mm-hmm. they are family, and they have four such theaters in the Western United mm-hmm. States, and Utah being... having two of those.
I wanted to comment on that, though, because I think that I agree with everything you're saying, but interestingly enough, this year, this season, because I'm watching it with Monica, mm-hmm. it's the first time that they've really called attention to, because a lot of these people who go on the show and they have their own shtick, they have their own routine that they've just polished perfectly because they've been
yeah.
so isolated and so focused on one thing. And this season, some of them don't even continue in choreography by their own decision. They realize that they can't match up because they don't have the necessary skills.
You're right.
And it's happened twice this season.
That's
two
right.
people have just elected to remove right. themselves from choreography because they weren't prepared.
And they actually were very smart to do that.
Yes.
Those
yeah.
people.
And the beauty of that was it really sort of echoed your point about training, but the great thing about that particular episode was then toward the end of it, there was a ballet dancer from Sweden. I don't know if you saw him, but all these other people were doing their own, you know, isolated things, doing their own thing. And then a guy went up there with formal training
right.
and burned the
yeah.
place down.
It was pretty
down.
Spectacular.
And
yeah.
he, and it was just wonderful because he walked by and one of the other dancers just looked directly at the camera and said, "Yeah, he's from another planet." It was just like they so appreciated, you know, and he did. He just, I don't know if you saw what
he did,
but it was,
I
watched it like three times.
Yeah.
And I saw
stunning.
Nureyev live, so I know these things.
Oh.
Did you?
Him, yeah, when I was about 14.
Wow.
In New York, yeah.
Wow.
He was incredible.
I met him.
He was.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Yes, he was touring.
Well, that's funny because we have him right here, ladies and gentlemen.
That'd be neat.
Oh, we don't have much time. We gotta do our little
baptism. I have to tell you, though, he was touring as the King and the King and I.
Really?
Yes, and that's when I met him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were crossing, you know, through the country. I was handling Robert Goulet and the Fantastics, and he was, Nureyev was, yeah.
You were handling Robert theater. Goulet all over the country.
Yes.
Lady. Okay. Anyway, okay. Julia, do you have we got about 3 minutes. You
okay.
have a stage performance mishap you can
yeah.
share with us?
Speaking of the Fantastics,
yes.
perfect timing for this.
You
I was
Louisa.
Doing a production. I
yeah.
played Louisa. I was doing a production in Long Island for the summer, and I had a fantastic El Gallo named Dan Cooney. And one night during the performance, right before a song called Round and Round, which, for those who aren't familiar with the show, Round and Round is when this older, wiser, worldly man shows this young, innocent girl what the world is really like. But every time he gives her this mask, so when she holds it up to her face, she looks through the mask and everything looks beautiful. She sees somebody being abused as just fun and games and everything's perfect. So we start the number and he goes to take the mask and hand it to me. It's this beautiful moment in the show. And there is no mask. He hands me a stick. The mask has fallen off the stick. And not only do I, and we both start laughing to the point where we're barely singing, but throughout the number, which is like a 6-minute song and it closes act one, I believe, every time we regain composure enough to continue, he has to say, the mask, and we
yeah,
just, by the time the show ended, the song ended, we weren't singing at all, and oh. boy, did we get reamed for it. haven't been asked back to that theater
What could you do?
Yeah. And the, you know, the audience was obviously in on the joke. There was no mask.
There was no mask.
The stick.
So it was. It hadn't fallen on the stage floor.
Oh no, no.
I guess.
Not
on the...
No.
Somehow when he pulled it out from what it was attached to, a set piece, it detached and it was left behind. So.
Now, Jerry Evans, you're on.
Quick. This is way back. I was dancing in Vegas in the 70s behind Petula Clark. She's on stage singing "It's Got to Be Something Better Than This" from Sweet Charity on a mic cord with a mic, pre-wireless. And we're dancing behind her with a shawl. It's very flamenco, dramatic, and the shawl has fringe. And we're taking turns, you know, framing her with the shawl. So anyway, we're dancing, and I turn around to accept the shawl from one of the dancers, and it's in a big pile, and it's all caught up in her cord. So I take it thinking, oh, that's just going to shake right loose, and I flip it up and around over my head, and it's and I'm now have the microphone cord around my neck.
Oh, my God.
With a shawl over my head, my face. I can't see. So I have to stop, and I'm standing there pulling, and it won't come off. She turns. She starts laughing, and we have a full 40-piece orchestra behind us. Everything stops. She's laughing, the orchestra's laughing, and I still cannot get this off of my head.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, I thought, well, my career's done. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
That's hysterical. That is hysterical.
Way to steal the show.
Did you have to leave the stage, or what did you do?
I had some help, because I was actually starting to choke myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't get it off. Wow. It was all tangled up.
Oh,
so, like, they came out, and of course, I was, you know, again, blushing, and I had to exit, and she carried on with the song. I was pretty much packing. I thought, I'm fired.
Wow. Yeah. Jerry is not only the only talented member of his family. His wife is also a choreographer and a lovely dancer herself. And she's she is choreographing Sutton Foster on her new TV series, Bunheads.
Actually, she's coaching Sutton on ballet. She's not actually choreographing. Oh. She's coaching Sutton
for
ballet.
All
her scenes. Yeah. So all the ballet movement you see is thanks to my wife.
Nice.
Heard good things about it.
I haven't
seen
it yet. I think I have it on.
Oh my God! You
got
to see it. Yeah. Start from the pilot. You can go on. You can go on the webpage for the TV show, and you can stream them live. But watch the pilot first, because you have to know what's going on.
Okay.
Because you'll tune it in mid, and you go what?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Cool. Bunheads.
Yes, Bunheads.
And
Jackie Evans.
Jackie Evans. And just as a reminder, our first guest, Juliana Henson. It's julianahenson.com to follow all
That's
things
right.
Juliana.
Thank you.
And what a pleasure to have both of you on. We really enjoyed it.
This was so fun.
Thank you, guys.
And Michael, look forward to sharing the microphone with you next week.
And me with you, Paul.
All right. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.